Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Joining us on the hotline right now from Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports, he's our good friend Kurt Heelan. Hey, Kurt, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. How you doing, man? Just melting here in Vegas.
Oh, well, you know, I'm sitting. One thing I've noticed, the air conditioning in the new time slot works way better than the air conditioning in the late night slot. So it's like I moved up in the world.
It's not like they just turned it off in the building overnight.
No, because in other parts of the building it works, just not in the studio. So I can't explain that. All I know is that right now there's AC in here. At 10 o'clock tonight, there will not be AC in here. So win for me, baby. Speaking of winning, the Rockets are not doing that right now. They let Trevor Ariza walk. Now they've let Luke Bamute walk. Who's supposed to be playing defense on the wing for the Rockets right now?
Well, Carmelo Anthony, they're getting him. That'll solve all the problems, right? It's a real issue. They lost two guys who are not only good individual defenders, but are switchable and long and the kind of guys that they were leaning on last year with this switching defense to be prepped for teams like the Warriors, and they're going to miss them. Those are two guys that are going to just be hard to replace. They both hit threes, too. They both did some other things, so they both really fit what they were doing. There aren't other guys like that out there. I get that. Look, $15 million is a lot for Trevor Ariza. That was a big chunk of cash that it was going to be tough to keep. But, you know, they kind of might have needed to pay up here for Luke. Without him, like you said, they're just kind of in a tough spot. I know he was a little banged up at points last year, but they're just going to try to cover this with some Carmelo Anthony firepower, and I'm not sure that's the answer.
Well, yeah, because Carmelo Anthony, you know, I mean, he used to have firepower, but for a guy who admitted that he's not a catch-and-shoot three-point guy, we know Carmelo, you know, as far as switchable defense, he can switch from sucking against one guy to sucking against the other guy. I don't see how, for an analytics-driven team, how they even think in any way, shape, or form Carmelo Anthony works on this team, but it does seem that they are determined to land him.
Yeah, I would say just talking to people here in Vegas, and I just posted a thing on this, and I'm far from the only person to say this. It is, I don't want to say inevitable, but they are clear front runners to land him. They were talking yesterday, just casually, his people and some of the Rockets people at the Houston game. And it just, in all indications, whether you're talking to Houston or other teams around the league, there's just a real sense that this is, it's going to happen. He is going to be a Houston Rocket. And again, I don't, you know, if you could get him to accept a role as a sixth man, kind of guy off the bench, come in and gun and get them some buckets, it's not that bad. It's a fine signing. He can still do some things. But if you're going to ask him to play, you know, he didn't want to accept that kind of role, and I just don't think you can plug him in for Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute and think that there's not a drop-off on a team that just, I mean, ultimately, look, they're probably still the second-best team in the NBA. They're certainly, maybe Boston's there, but, I mean, they're in the contending mix. But they have no margin for error, and it just got smaller.
I don't understand why they feel the need to go so hard for Carmelo. I know that Mike D'Antoni is a guy with a reputation for not holding a grudge. But if there's anybody in life he should be allowed to hold a grudge against, shouldn't it be the guy who admitted to dogging it to get him fired in New York?
Yeah, they've worked past that, apparently. They've said this before. They've talked it out, and it's all good, and they could play together. And I don't doubt that. I just, you know, Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony, they're buddies, but Chris is as intense a competitor as there is in the league, a guy who is hard on his teammates. So I'm just curious how this, like, the locker room dynamic gets very different.
You know, and the other thing is, do you think the Rockets, if things don't work out with Carmelo, will they have the guts to pull the plug on it?
No, that's a good question. Yeah, and pull the plug on it slash, I mean, the problem is I don't know where else they go, what else they do. This is kind of a weird, you know, the kind of guys they need maybe become available around the trade deadline. But they're just not exactly stocked with assets right now that you're going to be able to trade to get the kind of switchable guy. Look, everybody's looking for switchable wings right now. Wing is a position of need around the league. That means those guys start to come at a premium, and I just don't know how they're going to be able to swing it.
Talking with Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, with us on the hotline right now. And Kurt, have you, you know, we talked about the Warriors, you know, the Rockets' second-best team. Well, we know who the best team is. And they add Boogie Cousins at the tax level exception. I know Boogie turns around and says, well, nobody made me an offer. But we know the Pelicans are talking to him about, you know, $20 million a year and whatnot. Is this Boogie's way of saying, you know what, I didn't want to go back to New Orleans, and I'm going to see if I can steal a ring here and then go back on the market and look for a max deal, because this is a year where there just isn't a lot of money on the market?
No, I think that that's exactly it. He was disappointed. It took him a while to come around to the fact that he was not going to get what he expected. He thought he had a body of work that was going to get him max or near max money for multiple years, and that didn't happen. And it didn't not even close to happening. You know, he was going to have to take maybe a 2-year deal if he was lucky, but it was going to be for far, far less money. There was more money out there. It's semantics to say there wasn't another offer, because there were offers he could have shaken out and gotten. They just weren't formally on the table. That's it. He just didn't like any of them. So, like you said, he's like, you know what? I can make 5.3 for 1 year, but more importantly, this team doesn't need to push me to get back. If he goes to, I don't know, Dallas, say, which was one of the other suitors, by Christmas, Dallas is going to be kind of like, hey, how you feeling? Like, you getting ready? You close? Because they're going to be fighting to get into the playoffs with this roster. I like the moves they've made. They've gotten better, but they're going to be fighting in a deep West for a playoff spot. Golden State doesn't have that problem. Like, yeah, come back whenever, man. We need you in the playoffs. Just get yourself right. We'll get you some run. Here's your $5.3 million. And by the way, go out there and rehab your image. Be a good teammate for a year. Show everybody who you can be on and off the court. And, yeah, you can get exactly like you said. He thinks he's getting paid now next summer. And, by the way, that's distinctly possible. He has a good year, rehabs his image. And next year, I'm warning you now, Patrick, so many teams have money next summer, more than there are good players on the market. There are going to be some more 2016 disaster kind of contracts next summer.
Oh, great. More Ryan Anderson deals coming. More Mozgov's coming. Beautiful. Hey, Kurt, when you look at the current makeup of the Warriors with Boogie and Draymond, and really ever since he left Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant has been a combustible personality. Worst locker room potential, those three guys or Rondo, Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee? Like, which is the more combustible unit?
Oh, the latter three, only because the winning won't be there. The Warriors have the advantage of Curry, that kind of being Curry's team, and his kind of even-keeledness, so you just don't have the same he's able to control that. And like I said, winning, you know, as it does in all sports, winning pretty much cures all ills, and it cures a lot there. Like, if things start to go sideways, then we'll talk about the dynamic. But the Lakers aren't going to win as much as I think some people think they are. They're just LeBron's great, and I like Brandon Ingram, and I think some of the pieces, like I think Ball can play with LeBron better than some do. And all that said, that team has no shooting. As much as Luke got them to play defense as a unit last year, I'm not totally sold on that end of the floor with them. They're in a brutal Western Conference, and when things start to go sideways, that locker room's going to get. That locker room is going to be a piece of work. Yeah, that locker room has the real potential to just be a nightmare come the middle of the year. It may be not, but between that, it's kind of a race between them and the Wizards this year for locker room disaster.
Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, with us on the hotline. When you talk about the Wizards, you know, there was that whole, you know, narrative last year that the Wizards are better without John Wall. Which doesn't really make any sense, but the idea they're better without John Wall. Well, now they're bringing in Dwight Howard. And, you know, if Dwight could ever just get it through his head that modern NBA means you're not going to get the ball on the block where you fumble it away and you're not very efficient, but you're going to flush a whole bunch of oops and pick and rolls, block shots and rebound, play defense, you know, the things he's good at. How does Dwight's addition to the Wizards, I mean, Is that the perfect example of a guy who could either make or break a team season?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, honestly, there was pretty good on-court pick-and-roll chemistry between Wall and Gortat. Like, they actually they were pretty efficient when they ran it together. you're right. I mean, Howard's got to accept that that's who it is and what it is, and he never really has. He also doesn't quite bring it nightly. I don't know. You know, I guess that has the potential to be a little better. Like, honestly, his numbers last year were pretty good, but his teammates still didn't really like him much. Didn't really like. They're weary of the act, which is he doesn't take things seriously, and he kind of does at odd times, and he doesn't really back it up, and it's frustrated. It's frustrated teammates in multiple locations. I think it's going to frustrate Wall. I would say that was the most dysfunctional locker room in the NBA last year. I just think adding Howard to that is just going to be, yeah. I mean, Gortat was one problem, but I don't know that they haven't replaced one problem with another. So here's again, Howard can say he wants to change his reputation, but he's actually going to have to do it and not just say it this time.
Is Dwight signing in Washington an indictment of the fact that better teams, you know, because there was a story out there that he wanted to go play with LeBron, but he probably already burnt his bridge with the Lakers, that better teams, even for, you know, the minimum or even for the mid-level, didn't want to deal with him?
There are teams that would have done it for that, but I think that you're getting to the point, which is there wasn't much demand for Dwight Howard. There's not much demand for his style of center as it is right now. Certainly not at the kind of money and touches he demands. So, yeah, he couldn't have gone back to L.A. It's not even about, like, playing with LeBron. It's just, like, the fan base would have revolted. They have scapegoated him for the 2004, you know, not 2004, the Steve Nash year debacle. And it was more than Howard, let's be fair. That wasn't just Dwight.
No, it was Dwight and a bunch of guys who were in wheelchairs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was more than Dwight, but Dwight's got an excuse for every year, and we'll see what his new one is for this year.
Kurt, the Philadelphia 76ers, they were looking for a big splash in free agency to add to all those guys, and they've come up empty at every turn. Is there anything left, you know, in the pantry for them to try to really improve that team?
I mean, they'd love to get in on the Kawhi sweepstakes, but that's a cluster. That's a problem. I won't finish that thought for you. That's a problem of another sort with a lot of different things going on. And
the FCC thanks you for your support.
Exactly. Maybe they get a shot there if they can sit down and get medicals and talk to. The thing is, they want to sit down and talk to his uncle, manager, and some of the people around him. The thing is, none of those people have NBA ties. None of them really have NBA experience. Teams haven't dealt with them and with other players. So even then, there's a certain. The level of trust isn't complete. It isn't like, hey, he says he's going to resign. We could totally believe this guy, because they don't know. They haven't dealt with him before. They haven't dealt with Kawhi before, who's not really saying anything. It's kind of all through the uncle. And so it's just the whole situation is weird, but they could land him. He, in theory, would stay there because that's a winning situation where he can brand himself well. So I don't think that that's over. If ultimately they get in far enough and this Spurs come along and say, you know what, you throw Fultz in the deal. If it's Fultz, Covington, and a future pick, whatever that pick ends up being, maybe that gets it done. I don't know if you throw in Fultz and the Miami pick in 2021, but whatever, you know, maybe they get that done and maybe that's enough. But that's the long shot right now. What they're doing smartly, keeping their powder dry. They are not going out and doing the Timothy Mozgov thing. They're like, yeah, there's a bunch of other free agents next year. They will get one. They will get someone and plug them in, and then watch out, because it's going to be them in Boston for years.
Kurt Helin, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports with us on the hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Basketball Talk. Glad you're able to join us today, buddy. Always enjoy talking with you. And now that I'm not on so late, maybe you can join me a little more often.
I would be up for that. If I survive Vegas, and I'm not like so broke that I have to start selling off, you know, pieces of furniture from my house, we'll figure stuff out. Exactly.
One kidney, 30 grand.
How much do those go for? I got to look that up.
Appreciate you, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
Kurt Helin, Pro Basketball Talk, with us on the hotline.